And now the moment you've all been waiting for. 924 arrests, 13 demonstrations, and thousands of protesters lifted up their voices on the lawn of Halifax Mall in Raleigh and inside the walls of the North Carolina State Legislature from late April until the end of July for Moral Mondays, which are the topic making our number one story of 2013. WCHL's Rachel Nash traveled to Raleigh for the weekly summer rallies and has a look back.
With this country, with this state, with our community, is that it's supposed to be something that is expansive and inclusive. And what we've seen with our legislature over the past year is that it's been exclusive and is, you know, narrowing its interest and keeping people out.
This is North Carolina. This is the state that we've thought of as the guiding light of the New South. North Carolina seems to be just determined to go right there to the bottom.
For me personally, it's 16 years of my work just being destroyed.
Those are the voices of Orange County resident Pastor Richard Edens, United States Congressman David Price, and former State Senator Ellie Kinnaird. The first Moral Monday took place on April 29th. It was organized by the North Carolina NAACP, and 17 protesters were arrested, including one of Orange County's own, Bishop Larry Reed, and Moral Monday movement leader and NAACP State Chapter President, Reverend William Barber. Barber was the voice behind what he called the wave of civil disobedience. He accused North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory and right-leaning lawmakers for pushing a, quote, regressive agenda, which he believed hurt voting rights, social welfare programs, and education.
So let it be clear and let it be known. They may not change, but neither will we. As long as we got breath in our body, as long as we got marching in our feet, we will fight, we will speak forward together.
On a rainy evening of July 3rd, in a crowd far larger than any previous protests, former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton, Chapel Hill Town Council Member Donna Bell, and Carrboro Alderman Damon Siles, Michelle Johnson, and Sammy Slade were among those arrested at the rally, which was called Mega Moral Monday.
I think that actually being an elected official made it more important for us to make a stand.
That was Carrboro Alderman Damon Siles. Orange County commissioners were also present at the demonstration, representing the growing number of Orange County elected officials to support the movement. The epic finale of the Moral Monday movement in Raleigh saw the largest crowd yet for the 13th rally as protesters marched on the state capitol building from Halifax Mall on July 29th, shutting down streets as their message echoed across downtown. The rally culminated in more than 1,000 protesters gathered on Fayetteville Street as the crowd stretched back nearly two blocks and listeners stood atop city buildings to hear Barber and others speak. The Moral Monday movement sparked other protests which were held across the state in cities including Asheville, where more than 5,000 protesters turned out for Mountain Moral Monday. Moral Monday returned once more to Raleigh in September for an encore protest, though Barber vowed that his work was far from over. For now, Mondays in Raleigh will be a little quieter until the legislature gets back to business. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The NAACP's protest to the recent state legislation continues. Last night, members of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP joined other protesters for a big rally in Raleigh. This coming after last week's protest where 17 people were arrested. More than two dozen were arrested again. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Because the issue is that, like I said, it's not just a black issue. And that was kind of where it was played off, you know, the other Monday night. You know, it's pretty heavily laced in black folks. That's what that is. But that's not the issue. It's far from it.
That's Bishop Larry Reed. He's one of the vice presidents of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP chapter. He was also one of several Chapel Hill residents arrested last week. He says the fight against what they call a regressive state agenda is far from over. Alongside
top story for today, 49 people were arrested last night, including some from Chapel Hill, during an NAACP rally outside the chambers of the North Carolina General Assembly. Third consecutive week of protests in Raleigh, and now, with more than four dozen arrested last night, that brings the total to nearly 100 people who have been arrested. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there at last night's protest. She's here now with more.
Never be defeated.
There
are so many things that are being attacked. We feel it's important for more and more people to show that they're appalled by what's going on.
That's protester Lynn Harmon of Chapel Hill. The North Carolina NAACP chapter president, Reverend William Barber, led an estimated 175 activists outside the state legislature for Moral Monday.
Marlboro Mayor Mark Chilton was the first person of close to 150 people handcuffed in the NAACP's Mega Moral Monday protest. Four other local elected officials would follow on Monday night, and they say it was worth it to make a stand, though they questioned the legality of their arrests. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
They had no authority to make us leave the building. We had a constitutional right to be there.
That's Mayor Chilton, Chapel Hill Town Council member Donna Bell, and Carborough Alderman Damon Siles, Michelle Johnson, and Sammy Slade joined Chilton Monday in Raleigh, along with more than 1,500 other activists. The protest was led by NAACP's state chapter president, Reverend William Barber. He's proclaimed the now almost weekly demonstrations as a wave of civil disobedience. They are targeting what they call the regressive policies of the GOP-led General Assembly on issues ranging from voter ID to health care to education and more. The Chapel Hill and Carborough elected officials decided beforehand they would not be disruptive while inside the General Assembly. They did not carry signs, sing, or clap. Their purpose was to make an appointment with House Speaker Tom Tillis. The group maintains that they were peaceful and complied with the rules except refusing to leave the building when the General Assembly police asked them to exit. They say that under the state constitution of North Carolina, they have the right to redress their grievances with their representatives. Donna Bell says her call to court states she was being held with probable cause. Her court date is set for August 20th. She says the NAACP is working with their lawyers to determine the legality of keeping those who have been arrested inside the state house before from stepping inside again. Bell says if she isn't allowed inside again, she will continue to protest outside.
One of the best things about the protests were the folks standing on the side of the road cheering us on as we went by in the inmate transport buses. And so I plan on being out there cheering on other folks as they make their way to the Wake County Jail.
And though the outcome wasn't what he anticipated, Chilton says he was still happy to be a part of a movement he believes in.
It was very inspiring to see the size of the crowd and to see how many people are so concerned about the future of our state. So that was a very kind of energizing experience to see all that. It was moving to hear from a number of the speakers about how the legislature's recent actions were hurting the working families of North Carolina.
Bell met people from across North Carolina, Charlotte, Wilmington, and Craven County, not just within the Triangle. Alderman member Damon Siles says he didn't view participating in the protest as a risk to his position within the community.
No, I think it actually being an elected official made it more important for us to make a stand.
Chilton says the protesters were from a diverse background, rallying for a range of issues.
I'm very concerned that the legislature is not only gutting our social safety net and our educational system and our environmental safeguards, but that they're also trying to make their changes permanent by changing our system of elections in North Carolina.
Carborough Alderman member and social worker Michelle Johnson says when the state rejected the expansion of the federally funded Medicaid program, that directly impacted some of her clients.
I'm an elected official and a social worker and a woman of color, and many of the bills that are coming out of the legislature affect lots of folks in North Carolina.
The arrest Monday mirrored the combined total of 153 from the four previous NAACP demonstrations dating back to late April. Though some state leaders have taken notice and even attended the protest, the majority seems steadfast. But Barber has vowed that the protest won't stop until they see change.
A tornado watch and rain throughout the evening couldn't keep more than 1,000 determined activists and many of our local leaders and residents of Orange County from gathering outside the General Assembly building in Raleigh for the sixth week of the NAACP's Moral Monday protests. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there and has more on what happened.
That's the sound of protesters packed inside the state legislative building. With the 84 arrests Monday evening, the total number now exceeds upwards of 350 arrests. But before the handcuffs were drawn, clergy members from across the state spoke to those planning to be arrested, as well as their supporters, across from the General Assembly. The group then marched together into the State House. Mia Burrows, a member of the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board of Education, was one of the supporters.
Our public schools are the key to our state's future, to our community's future. And in the General Assembly this year, they are trying to really destroy it.
Now let's talk about our continuing story, Moral Mondays. The crowd was very large yesterday. 84 people were arrested at the 7th Moral Monday protest in Raleigh, including four members of the United Church of Chapel Hill. Police estimated that close to 1,000 gathered for the rally outside, targeting policies of the Republican-controlled legislature. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there and has more on the story.
That's the sound of hundreds of protesters inside the General Assembly. The activists who planned to be arrested walked in a circle outside the chamber doors, chanting and singing. 19-year-old Kira Fresklin was one of them.
I think it's time that we, you know, stand up. You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
In Raleigh, U.S. Congressman David Price spoke to more than 1,000 protesters yesterday at Mass Moral Monday in Raleigh. The North Carolina NAACP's demonstrations have grown from just a local effort to a statewide movement to now garnering national attention. This week, 120 were arrested, bringing the total to more than 550 since the protests began in late April. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there. She's here now with more.
It's a combination of what's happening in our state, which is just so far beyond normal politics or normal changes. This is a real wrecking crew. This is a real Tea Party extremism, and it's denying people health insurance. It's out to destroy, I believe, public education. It's putting up barriers to the right to vote, and on it goes.
That's Congressman David Price. He represents the 4th District in North Carolina, which encompasses Orange, Durham, and Chatham counties, among others. Price joined representatives from the AFL-CIO of North Carolina and a number of other labor and women's organization groups in protest of the policies of the Republican-controlled legislature.
This is North Carolina. This is the state that we've thought of as the guiding light of the New South. North Carolina seems to be just determined to go right there to the bottom.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory recently said that the Moral Monday movement was made up of outsiders and not natives of North Carolina. A UNC study determined that 98% of protesters were local to the state.
It's a grassroots movement. It gets bigger every week. I just feel like I got to show support.
And though the rallies are due to the efforts of North Carolinians, they are gaining the attention of national media outlets such as Fox News and MSNBC. The network sent multiple camera crews to cover the event. NAACP State Chapter President and protest leader Reverend William Barber asked Price to join him on stage, as well as a bevy of state leaders who were in attendance, including North Carolina Representative Verla Insko and North Carolina Senator Ellie Kinnaird.
One of the most important things is we need to get the word to the public about what is happening in the legislature and the damage they're doing. For me personally, it's 16 years of my work just being destroyed.
So let it be clear and let it be known. They may not change, but neither will we. As long as we got breath in our body, as long as we got marching in our feet, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, forward together.
That's a clip of Reverend William Barber speaking at last week's Moral Monday. When the NAACP staged its first protest on April 29th, Barber was among the 17 arrested. Those arrestees now wear pins that read, "I went to jail with Reverend Barber." Following this week's Mass Moral Monday, more than 550 people have now been arrested. UNC Communications professor Christian Lundberg specializes in theories of public discourse, public speaking, rhetorical theory, and debate and deliberation. He explained Barber keeps with the traditions of the speakers of the African American churches associated with the civil rights movement.
But the most interesting thing is, as he really gets into his speech, he starts to really change from those short, simple, declarative sentences towards really kind of elegant, figural language. So there's lots of metaphors. There's lots of repetition.
Lundberg identified several techniques that Barber employs in his speeches. He begins with declarative sentences and then, as he gets into the speech, picks up the pace and intensifies his volume. Coming from a church background, Barber's speeches are also heavily laced with biblical references. Many amens can be heard from the crowds at the demonstrations, as people of faith and clergy members have been very active in the rallies. Jeffrey Frank, who attends the United Church of Chapel Hill, has attended 5 protests and said he loves to hear Barber speak. Frank said it's more than just Barber's energy that gets his attention.
First of all, he really understands the issues, but he comes at them from a moral point of view. He puts his message across very well, looking at the focus. He knows the scriptures and he knows how that applies.
For 9 weeks now, the North Carolina NAACP and other activists have gathered in Raleigh for Moral Mondays to protest what they call the regressive policies of the GOP-led North Carolina General Assembly. More than 80 were arrested on Monday yesterday, bringing the running total to almost 700 since this demonstration began all the way back in late April. Many also were there to rally for the roughly 70,000 North Carolinians who lost their long-term unemployment benefits this week due to a decision by North Carolina lawmakers. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there last night. She's here now with more.
Today's a really sad day. North Carolina officially became the cruelest state in the nation now that we've walked away from these benefits. The only state to walk away from the benefits, the only state to kick the long-term unemployed to the curb. I think what this legislature has done is indefensible.
That's Mary B. McMillan, the secretary and treasurer for the North Carolina AFL-CIO. She fought a long battle to try to convince state leaders to extend long-term unemployment benefits instead of cutting them off. When the recession hit in 2008, the state was forced to borrow from the federal government as unemployment claims increased. North Carolina was one of the many states facing a similar debt, but the only state to choose this course of action. Unemployment benefits are slated to expire across the country at the end of this year. McMillan said many of the unemployed people she works with are in disbelief.
They're trying to wrap their heads around why in the world would our legislature do this to us? Why would we turn down money that's not going to cost our state a dime? Why would we let what's going to be eventually 170,000 families suffer? It just doesn't make any sense.
Hannah Pinkney McManus, pastor at the Evergreen United Methodist Church in Chatham County, was one of those arrested.
I'm scared to death. I've never done anything like this in my life, but my faith will not let me stay silent. And it's not enough just to speak up. I have to do something.
McManus said the decision to cut off the unemployment benefits for so many North Carolinians pushed her to take a stand.
The folks that come to our food pantry on Tuesday nights, their suffering is immeasurable. It goes far beyond just them having enough to eat. And I don't know what else we can do as a church to help them.
Protesters rallied last night for abortion rights at the 10th Moral Monday outside the General Assembly. Inside the building, 64 people were arrested, this coming less than a week after a bill calling for tighter abortion laws pushed through the state Senate in less than 24 hours with very little public notice. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there last night. She's here now with more.
Since the first Moral Monday in late April, more than 700 people have been arrested in the weekly protest against the legislation of the Republican-led General Assembly. This week, many protesters wore pink in honor of women's reproductive rights.
It's really shocking how this General Assembly feels that they can just railroad through bills without any respect for democratic process, without providing people even just the most basic form of notice.
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. He was one of more than 1,000 who attended the rally. Many protesters were outraged over House Bill 695, which would require abortion providers to meet the same standards as ambulatory surgery centers, a move abortion rights advocates say is designed to shut down providers. Only one clinic in the entire state currently meets those standards. All others would effectively have to close. Inside the State House, Janet Combe, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina, was among those arrested. Combe's colleague, Melissa Reed, spoke to the media before the protest.
These attacks on women's health are dangerous.
That's right.
And they are deeply unpopular. And that's why these politicians continue to try to sneak them in with special sessions, with midnight votes, with hearings without witnesses. And the North Carolina General Assembly has tried to bully, shame and dismiss North Carolina women and their families this entire session.
It was the 11th Moral Monday in Raleigh yesterday, rallying for women's rights. 101 people were arrested, bringing the running total to more than 800 now. The protesters, normally focused on the Republican-led policies of the General Assembly, took a pause yesterday to remember Trayvon Martin. The 17-year-old was fatally shot by George Zimmerman, a Florida man who claimed self-defense and was acquitted on Saturday. WCHL's Rachel Nash has been covering Moral Monday, and she has the story on what happened yesterday.
I find the ruling very frustrating. I feel like it encourages racial profiling. I'm also a teacher, and I think we need to teach our children to think critically and not make snap judgments, and that ruling really, to me, says it's okay to do that, and that's not a lesson I'm okay with teaching our young people.
That's UNC alum Rachel Debnam. She was there to rally for women's rights, but also felt a sense of sadness over Zimmerman's acquittal. Thousands wore pink as they gathered on the lawn of Halifax Mall. Many carried signs in protest of the state House of Representatives passing tighter abortion regulations in a less than transparent manner.
The 12th Moral Monday in Raleigh focused on voting rights in response to the proposed changes to state election laws, which many have said will harm voter rights. 73 people were arrested last night, bringing the running total to 925. As the legislative session comes to a close, the North Carolina NAACP said that won't stop them from taking their peaceful protests across the state. WCHL's Rachel Nash was in Raleigh last night for Moral Monday. She's here now with more.
It was likely the last time this legislative session that the Moral Monday crowd would gather inside the General Assembly in protest of what they call the regressive policies of the Republican-led legislature. Before the event moved inside, Pastor Richard Edens of the United Church of Chapel Hill was one of more than 1,000 rallying for voting rights on the lawn of Halifax Mall. Edens was arrested on July 1st.
With this country, with this state, with our community, is that it's supposed to be something that is expansive and inclusive. And what we've seen with our legislature over the past year is that it's been exclusive and is, you know, narrowing its interest and keeping people out. The voting rights is just one where they are limiting who can participate.
Senate Republicans unveiled a new voter ID bill last week that would limit the forms of photo identification accepted at the polls. The new measure would require voters to show one of seven types of photo identification issued by the government, such as driver's licenses, passports, non-driver IDs, and military or veteran cards. It's more restrictive than the House version, as it would eliminate cards from UNC system colleges, state community colleges, local governments, private employers, and law enforcement agencies as acceptable forms of photo identification. Matt Hughes, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, said he is worried for the negative impact this legislation might have on future elections.
I think it's clear that is to curb students from being able to easily access the polls. I think that's because the belief is that those are liberal voters and they'll be voting for Democrats. And to me, it's trying to play on an unlevel playing field.
For 13 weeks, people have gathered in Raleigh to rally against the policies of the Republican-led General Assembly as part of a movement that's come to be called the Moral Monday protests. Since late April, when the first 17 protesters got arrested, the number has grown to a final tally of 925 arrested. The legislature adjourned its tumultuous session last week, but that didn't stop the protesters. And the largest crowd yet, they marched in the state capitol building in their final Moral Monday in Raleigh, shutting down streets as their message echoed across downtown. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
That's the sound of protesters on Fayetteville Street facing the building where North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory conducts his business. A smaller group gathered at the state capitol earlier in the day to demand a meeting with McCrory. Police kept the demonstration outside the building but said they would deliver the protesters' letter to the governor. In the past 12 Moral Mondays, the protesters have gone into the General Assembly where the arrests have happened outside chamber doors. This time, the crowd gathered on the lawn of Halifax Mall and then marched in unison to the state capitol, chanting along the way.
No justice! No justice! No justice! No justice!
Teachers from across the state came in droves wearing red for public education. Rodney Ellis, president of the North Carolina Teachers Association, was arrested at last week's Moral Monday.
Last week, the legislature passed a budget that will ultimately destroy public education in North Carolina.
That's right. That's right.
Ellis explained this budget eliminates over 9,000 education positions, including teacher jobs, teachers' assistants, and education support personnel. It provides no raises for teachers and does away with a salary increase for those who earn a master's degree. Perhaps the most controversial measure is the $20 million set aside for opportunity scholarships, which opponents have compared to a school voucher system. UNC alum Rory Santalosi currently teaches in Eflint and has attended many Moral Mondays. He said the budget, which McCrory signed last week, is an insult to teachers across the state.
If a majority of our population get taught in public schools, then a large portion of the budget should go to public schools as well. We're talking about the future of our state and the future of our counties.
Santalosi is going to grad school at NYU in the fall, but because of what has happened, won't be coming back to his home state.
Before this law was passed, I was going to grad school with the hope of returning to North Carolina and getting a pay raise. You know, I'm going to a new school in New York, and so the incentive to come back to North Carolina and teach where I'm from is no longer there.
Fellow UNC alum Ashley Jones had plans to get her master's degree this fall as well, but canceled those plans.
In the foreseeable future, I'll always be paid as a first-year teacher, and it's not very much. So to know that that's not going to go up is really frustrating.
NAACP State Chapter President and protest leader Reverend William Barber said the Moral Monday protests aren't going anywhere just because the General Assembly has adjourned, exclaiming, quote, "This is our state."
We understand that we're not in some mere political movement. We're not in some mere fight over 2014. We're in a fight for the soul of this state, the soul of the South, and the soul of this nation. And when you're in a soul fight, you don't give up easy.
Though this was the last Moral Monday in Raleigh, the NAACP will continue the rallies, moving to different locations across the state. The next will be in Asheville on August 5th, and there are plans to hold demonstrations in all 13 of North Carolina's congressional districts.
What would have divided us years ago has brought us together like never before. We know where we are. Anytime in the South you see this many black folk and brown folk and white folk and gay folk and straight folk and people of faith hugging each other, something's on the loose.
In Raleigh, Moral Monday returned this week as close to 150 people gathered for what was a somber march around Governor Pat McCrory's mansion to protest what they call restrictive voting laws passed by the Republican-led legislature. The governor was out of town, but the demonstration went on. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there.
There's a lot of regressive actions being taken towards students in general to break up really a progressive voting bloc in this state.
That's UNC junior Dylan Suchin-Mott. He spoke at the rally Monday representing the university group Student Power. The protesters marched down Wilmington Street in Raleigh, stopping traffic, and then circled once around the governor's mansion. The Associated Press reported that McCrory was attending a Republican Governors Association meeting in Charleston, South Carolina. The protesters carried with them several empty caskets to remember the four little girls killed in the bombing of a Birmingham, Alabama church 50 years ago this week. The rally ended with a candle vigil in Halifax Mall. Reverend William Barber, the NAACP state chapter president and Moral Monday movement leader, said, quoting here, "The blood of those young martyrs," end quote, "helped to make voting possible for everyone." He said those rights should not now be taken away.
But the same blood says you can turn around. You may not, but you can. You could engage in the virtue of repentance, Governor. You could call folk back in and undo what you've done. You could hear the cries of the blood and say you were wrong. And if you would do that, this same blood could unite us.
Chapel Hill native Morgan McDonald, a freshman at NC State, has been to four Moral Mondays. She said voting law changes, like the requirement for photo identification and the end to same-day voter registration, makes it harder for college students and other groups to vote.
Well, like Reverend Barber said, just because the governor's not here doesn't mean the problem's not here. If I could speak to Governor McCrory, I would talk to him about why is he doing this. And there's a lot of people that would like to ask him a lot of questions.